Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment? I forgot his name.
My name is Don.
Don Cavett, I'm sorry.
And what I want to know is there any applications for permits for Hendrick's property yet?
No official applications.
Okay. Can you tell me how you're going to stop him?
How we're going to stop him?
Yes. I mean, you ran this, you and Lisa ran on this to, you're going to, you know, end this and, you know, put a stop to it. I'd like to know how and what you're going to do.
So when I ran on, I knocked on your door and said I was going to stop it, that's what I said?
Yeah.
But did I say progress is coming? And while you can't stop progress, we as a community can dictate what that progress looks like.
Well, that is not what you said to going around to different people from what I heard.
I can tell you I never specifically said we could stop it.
Well, you didn't, but you're with him.
That's what I said.
You ran with him, so you're complicit, that's what he is, too.
You have to bring them in with you, Don. The next meeting's on the 14th.
Yeah.
Bring those folks with you, and we'll talk about it, because I never said that.
Well, I can show you right in your own.
That's it. Come on.
I'll tell you what, I'll get it all, and I'll put it right in there, because I got it all in here. So, I'll see you in the middle of the 14th.
Yes, sir.
And you can have, I suggest you get your answers.
Thank you. Anybody else? Mr. Cross?
Hi, I'm Bill Kraff, Wooden Road. A couple times in the past, over the years, past 2-3 years maybe, complaints have come up about a property on Becker Road. Last time, I think Dave Gerlich made a complaint about people living in the mobile home or camper, whatever it is. The trash is all over the place. The vehicle shop, I guess, I don't know what you want to call it. It's a business being run there. And my concern is, with all the vehicles that they're doing there, and all the gas cans and oil cans and stuff, so just laying around on the ground, why the zoning officer hasn't done anything yet?
Do you have an address?
Yeah, I do.
Great.
1732 Becker Road. The owners, Michael D. Francesco. And pictures, if you'd like to see them.
Just a couple. And now that they've cut down the forestry around, that three parcel lot that was combined into one, and the Campbell's property, they did a lot of forestry in the last 2 weeks. That stands out like an eyesore. And there's no reason that's been like that for 5-6 years. We've been complaining, and it seems like for some reason the zoning officer doesn't care or doesn't do nothing. I'd like to know why. And if he has, I'd like to know some feedback on what's going to take place. I'm concerned for contaminants getting in the ground, going to my well. That's all I have. Thank you.
I'll check with him.
Yeah. That's the first I heard of that. I don't know anything about that.
I'll check with him.
Public comment. Yeah. Yes.
Hi, Kelly Sanchez, Perky and Mandel. Perky and Crossing. I have two questions. The first being, and it's to Lisa and Bill. You both ran on a statement that you were going to bring in Zoom options for those of us that work or have other conflicts, and we're waiting for them. So what is your plan to bring that, and when? What is your timing for that?
That was a topic at one of the previous meetings that we did in January, so we are working on plans. So.
Yeah, so I've reached out to our IT people.
Oh, my question, okay. With all due respect, is for Lisa and Bill.
Okay.
Thank you. So what is your timing?
It's not my timing specific. It's a Board of Supervisors timing. It's a budget and a timing with Tracy and Kate as well. It's a joint effort to make sure that we're doing the right thing for the community and getting the right tools in here to do that.
So I'm hearing no timing.
I don't have exact timing yet, but it has been brought up for discussion already in a January meeting.
I heard that January meeting, no timing was disclosed at that time, and I'm still hearing in February, no timing at this time. So that was my first question. Thank you. My second question is, I see an agenda topic on your agenda today for Parky Human Crossing. Mm-hmm. May I ask, is there Parky Human Crossing HOA board representatives here today to speak to that?
No, not that I'm aware of.
To circle back to the other, I think on the next week's agenda, did we have the, I thought I saw camera on there? On for the 14th? Or was it on?
Yeah, I think as a draft, yeah, I do have some questions for you guys relating to the recording of meetings.
Yeah, so Ms. Sanchez, so just to get back with you, we did talk about it. I did tell you I was going to do it. That is something that, you know, I think everybody agreed on we would like to see done. That is something I ran on, and I did talk about. So we did talk about it with Ms. Tackett, and she, like she said, she's already in talks with the IT department, and it'll be here. As soon as it can be on the website, it'll be here.
Myself and many of us in the community are anxiously awaiting for that, so more of us can be interactive and attend these meetings. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Yes, I have a question about a dog constantly barking by a Parky Human in Parky Human Crossing. I'm sure Mr. Landman has heard the dog barking repeatedly, and I am in college and I have my studies going on, and there are times where I just can't focus because I live next door to this house and the dog just won't shut up. It just continuously barks. Sometimes I know it's not supposed to bark between, I believe, the hours of 10 and 7. However, there are definitely times where I hear that. And I do mean 10 p.m. and 7 a.m., I believe. And there are definitely days where I will hear it way after or way before those times. So, is there anything that can be done about that or we can do about that to just, you know, lessen that, because there are I know at least myself, I have responsibilities that I need to do, and sometimes that I can't start on those responsibilities until late at night. And if I need to do those responsibilities and I can't focus because next door a dog's barking, which starts to annoy my dog, which causes it to bark in response, and I hear other dogs in the neighborhood just start to bark, it becomes annoying, and it shows in my quality eventually.
Okay.
Do you have an address?
The address of the dog parking is 1225 Pine Ridge Drive.
It was previously reported to the township.
Yeah, and I think we had communicated with the person.
What was your first name, buddy? I'm sorry.
Daniel.
I got a follow-up to the question about the board. If there's nobody from the board here, how can we proceed with an agenda for what's going to happen in Parky Human?
So tonight's just a discussion on the results of a study that was there, and there's a couple options. We're investigating, you know, how to resolve the issue. We're trying to rectify it. We're just trying to figure out what's the best way to do it.
So then, when you figure out that way, then the board comes in, or would they be part of that plan?
Can I add?
Yes, ma'am.
So I have reached out to the Homeowners Association, and at this point, because we have two new members of the board, I'm essentially sort of giving them the information that was already given to the HOA, and I'm actually going to show the presentation that I gave to the HOA to them and to everyone, just to kind of get them up to speed where we are. So there's nothing new tonight. It's more just kind of trying to get them up to speed with what's happened over the last couple of years, if that makes sense.
There's also new HOA members as
board
well.
Members.
Board members are new.
That's fine. I mean, so there's nothing new, though, at this point, and we'll circle back to the HOA for sure.
Okay.
And I have been in communication with Jessica, I think Tomasillo or something like that. I'm not sure what her name is, last name is, but... But people from the HOA I have been communicating with.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. So business support of board here, Perkiomen Crossing water and sewer updates, Ms. Tackett.
So tonight I have Dan from Spot Stevens and McCoy here to talk about kind of where the status of the water project is, and then hopefully we can let him get going just because he's had a busy week of meetings, I think, and was able to come at the last minute. So just kind of his background, in September of 2021, there was a fire in Perkiomen Crossing resulting in 4 units being uninhabitable. October 12th of 2021, there was an informational meeting with the residents at the firehouse. And at that time, the board at the time agreed to take on the study of the hydrant system. It was discussed that the hydrant system was not designed to fight a big fire. There was obviously a lot of concern about that, given that there are hydrants in the development. The hydrants work, but they just don't work at the level needed to fight significant fires.
Not true.
Ours does not work at all.
Ours does not work.
It was my house you're talking about. They don't work at all.
They don't work. Ours does not work. Look at your study. It says it.
Yeah, I can pee harder than hydrants.
Okay. So it took us a while to find a consultant, qualified consultant, to conduct the study, the hydrant study. That was Spot Stevens and McCoy. We brought on to do the study, and it was completed in March of 2023. During the summer of 2023, the board at the time looked at some different factors to decide whether or not the township should move forward with an upgrade project to the water system. They talked to the HOA. We looked at financial aspects of it. We talked about grant opportunities, and then the board decided to go ahead and move forward with the design of an upgrade to the hydrant system. And that upgrade will include a second water tank down next to the current water tank, a new larger water main up through the development, and then increase capacity to the hydrants so that they are capable of fighting fires. So I have Dan here. He has been working on the design of the project. And if it's okay, maybe we can just have him kind of talk about kind of where Spot Stevens and McCoy is at this point.
And I have a full-size set of drawings if it's easier. If you all want them in front of you, since you can't see the screen. This is the overall development. Zoom in a little bit. That's down by the water plant. Okay? And then it goes up to and this is all survey work. That's all it is right now, where everything is in its current place. That includes the water mains, and we have some points that are circled on here that are points of interest that we have to come back and verify. But that's the record. There's an invert here for a sewer line that we didn't, that wasn't captured, so we need to go back and catch that. And a couple other minor. So survey's getting lined up to do that. In the meantime, I've been talking with some tank consultants and come up with a couple different options. Okay. And this might be easier for you all to see too. I don't know if Jamie sent this to you or not. I thought she did.
Yeah.
If you want to put that on the screen for the public.
Are these all the same to the investor?
This is basically a Google Earth view of down by the water plant, which matches this. And we have a couple options on the tank. You can either do a round tank or we can do a rectangle tank. But it needs to be about 150,000 gallons. Long story short. Does anybody else want a copy? Pass them around.
So just to kind of touch on what Dan's saying, so this shows that that we did have the surveyors go out and delineate the wetlands that are out in the area so that we could get an idea where we can do some placement of the new water tank. This was discussed with the HOA, and it was shared with them. They also gave us permission to go on HOA property to do some of this wetland delineation.
Yep, and the idea is to not interfere with those wetlands.
Right.
We can, but it becomes a much more long drawn out project because you have to do a lot of work with DEP and the Fish and Boat Commission and it becomes very burdensome. So we want to avoid them as much as possible. So that's what this plan kind of envisioning here. The red circle would be a circle tank.
Right.
And the other would be, and more than likely, one of the factors that we are looking at very closely is water age. Since you're increasing the amount of capacity, we don't want the water getting too old in the tank. As it is, it's a 150,000 gallon tank. You already have 100,000 gallons in storage. Means we're going to be up around 250,000 gallons. For domestic use, you're using roughly about 50,000 gallons a day. So you have over 4 days worth of water that will be on storage. The problem is that when you have a fire, by fire code, you're supposed to have 1,500 at a minimum gallons per minute for 2 hours. So that's a lot of water that we have to store. Well, you don't want the water getting old and having water quality issues for your potable water. So talking to one of the tank manufacturers, Dutchland Incorporated, they recommended doing the rectangle tank and then we can baffle it so the water goes through a serpentine, basically. So it keeps the water fresher, keeps it moving, keeps it from getting stagnant. So that's one of the... What's too old?
Yeah.
Normally, you would
want... Did you say 50,000 a day is used?
Roughly, yes.
So that's 5 days' worth.
Approximately.
So it could take 5 days to get to...
Out to the taps in people's houses.
Okay.
So...
And that's too long?
Typically, that would be... And it depends on the system, how much chlorine you're feeding. There are a lot of variables there, but typically, you want to keep it within 3 to 5 days.
Okay.
So that would be a good range. That way you don't have to overfeed chlorine chemicals. It becomes expensive. So it becomes a matter of economics and also aesthetics in the water. Too much chlorine in the water, you're going to get complaints about stinky chlorine water. It smells like pool, those types of things. So we want to try and eliminate that as much as humanly possible, right? So this is all going into the equation, if you will, of selecting the tank, selecting how it's going to be built, and all the components that go with it. So with that tank, we also have to put in a fire pump, which is a very large pump, which can pump, I think we're designing at 2,000 gallons a minute, if I remember correctly.
That's what it says in here, yeah.
So we're going to do more than the minimum. So we're going to do 2,000 gallons a minute for 2 hours is our basically our baseline for our requirements. So you'll be able to fight a fire at 2,000 gallons a minute at more than 20 PSI coming out of the hydrant. So you don't have to worry about peeing harder than the hydrant.
Even at the top of the hill.
Even at the top of the hill, yes, ma'am. Okay. Down at the bottom of the hill, the pressure is going to be substantially higher because of that, but we have to design to the maximum height points because that's where the maximum flow at the lowest needs to be designed.
And we have 3 non-working hydrants in the neighborhood, ours being one of them. Mm-hmm. Those will all be repaired in this process.
That is not part of what we're doing unless they're installed along the 12-inch new water main. That would be up to the township. We can include those in the project. We haven't gotten that. We have not gotten that far into the project yet. This is all very, very preliminary information.
We do have one of the hydrants at the end of Glenwood scheduled for repair. It just the weather hasn't been cooperating to allow that to happen.
There's one at Glenwood, they don't work. And then the one on Pine Ridge has a trickle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that doesn't work. That's not working to me.
I went out and did the fire flow test.
So you know.
So, yeah, some of them on the higher elevations were minimal, especially after they run for a couple minutes. Because it's the way the system is designed now. That's what it's designed to do. It has its limitations. So we are going to do everything we can to correct that.
You were saying about the higher pressures, it's
a lot higher at the bottom, down near Valley Stream, all that. Those residents down there, when I read this, didn't they have regulators put on down there so it doesn't affect them?
I think some of them may.
We had talked about that.
Yeah.
Okay, I read that in here.
It would be recommended.
Right.
Because the pressure's down at the bottom of the hill with having that much pressure at the top of the hill, you could cause issues inside the home. So we would recommend putting pressure reducing valves in, yes.
That's what I was going to say. We could just regulate it that way. As we even go up to the top, we can still regulate if it goes over too much.
I'm assuming you have a copy of the report?
I've read it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
I want to sit here and talk to you uneducated. You know what I mean? Trying to just keep myself warm.
Well, I am. Why not?
it says some. It doesn't say do all the houses that would be recommended to have regulators have them? Do we know that?
Not all of them, because there's a substantial elevation change in the community.
100 feet.
Like almost 100 feet.
The ones that should have them do have them.
I'm not sure.
I
think only some of them may at this point.
We never entered the houses to do any inspection.
Right.
All of ours were limited to outside.
Yeah, those are
on. Yeah, it would be inside.
So that would be some people choosing to install them.
I thought it was on like the main running down there. Okay.
The easiest way to do it would be put it at the meter.
Yeah.
Which are all inside the houses. So we did not go into houses. We just forewarned the residents that we were going to be there flushing hydrants, which we call.
Gotcha.
Low pressure and et cetera, for a day.
Okay.
And I hope we didn't disturb them too much when we did that.
All right. So at this point, Spot Stevens McCoy has basically just kind of been doing the surveying and, that aspect of it and the research. So I don't think we have any design from you guys yet.
This is
right?
All very, very preliminary.
Right.
And the tank manufacturers that we deal with will take the information and we'll design the best tank possible dependent upon the circumstances. So, and then we have to work with the pump manufacturers or pump vendors and suppliers to size the pumps properly. We still have to get down here for one day and get inside the building so we can trace out all of the piping and everything inside the building. That was not part of this. Survey crews don't only work outside.
Gotcha.
Their equipment don't work too well inside.
Got it. All right. Makes sense. Any more questions for Dan at this point?
And we did do a community outreach meeting.
That's true.
I forget exactly when it was, but we did meet with numerous people from Berkeley.
Yeah, after the report was done.
After the report was done, we laid out all the options.
Yeah, and that meeting was held over at the church across the street.
Yeah, I went to that meeting.
Okay.
There actually was. I was shocked there were so few residents at that meeting.
Yeah.
There was only a handful.
Okay.
A lot of the people that were there weren't, they were residents of the township, but they weren't Perky.
Oh, they weren't Perky on the ball. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure. I was just there talking like I am now.
Yeah. No, I know. I was present.
One thing I did read in here, and I must have left that page at home. You were talking about maintaining these pressures at for 2 hours. I read that same thing, but the way you guys had done your study, it was in between the times of like noon and 2:30 or something like that, or like 11 and 2:30. Would those numbers change if the residents are all home between 4 and 9? You know what I mean?
Possibly, but not a whole lot. I mean, it's peak water usage time, so that's what we try and base our planning on. We try and use peak numbers because we want to see the worst case scenario that we have to deal with.
Right. Okay. That was just my question on that. I did read it.
We try and cover all the bases. We always try and look at worst case when we're going through things like this on studies and designs.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was from 11 a.m. to 2:30.
Which is typically your peak usages.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I just wanted to make sure it wouldn't affect it if everybody's home.
It should not.
Yeah. Okay.
We should be able to plan for that. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Okay.
Okay. Any more questions for Dan?
Not for Dan.
Oh.
I have a question. George Jones, I live on Clover Lane. Just to get the full picture on the well and the drinking water and the hydrant system, they're all one and the same, right? It's one common well that feeds the hydrants.
There's two wells.
Two wells.
Yeah.
There are two wells that run, and they fill up a small tank down by their water plant. It's about 100,000 gallons.
Okay.
And then the pressure pumps that they utilize pull water from that tank and send it to what's called a hydropneumatic tank, which is a pressure tank.
Okay.
So it pumps it up to 90 PSI, which will sustain the pressure up into the upper ends of the system. The problem is when you open up a hydrant, it drains it very, very rapidly.
Right.
And none of the pressure pumps can keep up with that flow more than a minute or two.
Right. And that was my main question. So along with upgrading the hydrant system, you're going to also have to do some work on the wells and the pumps and that sort of thing.
The wells, no. But we're going to add what's called a fire pump, which is a electric and or motor driven. It can be a diesel pump if you want, or a diesel motor.
To get the proper volume.
But it will be sized appropriately to supply 1,500 gallons a minute at 90 PSI for 2 hours.
But the two existing wells will be ample for what you're trying to do?
The storage is what the pumps will rely on. Okay. If the storage gets depleted after 2 hours, you'll have the same situation you're in now, but the water will last two plus hours.
Right.
That when we're done. And they should, the fire company and the NFPA, which is the code that we follow for design of this, states 1,500 gallons a minute for 2 hours. We're going to 2,000 gallons a minute for 2 hours. So we're going above design criteria as laid out by the standards.
So you're not going to need any additional wells or deepening of the wells or anything along those lines? It's more or less the pumps?
Correct. That
you're
feed
gonna
the
have
system.
Upgrade. Yeah. Okay.
And
the adding of a second tank.
Yeah.
For the 150.
For storage.
Yes,
yeah.
That's the storage that will allow for the 2 hours.
Right.
Correct.
There is two wells there, but I believe what I read in this report also is they only operate one at a time, correct?
Correct.
For the most part.
So even if the one's depleted, you could fire up the other one, potentially, if you're in that situation, I would imagine.
Yes, you could.
Yeah. Right. So there's always a backup, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then you're just waiting. I mean, those wells will kick on while you're depleting the system.
Right.
So it'll last even longer than 2 hours.
Yeah.
But then the tanks have to replenish.
Right.
So, and essentially, the fire chief was at the meeting back, I don't even remember when it was, other than being cold. So, he was there, and he said that there's no fire that should last more than that time frame ever in that development, that it should be less than an hour, that would be way more than adequate. So, he said, stated that himself.
Yeah.
Is it over-designed? You could say it is to a certain point, but we're meeting the standards plus.
Yeah, I'd rather be a little over than under.
Absolutely.
So I'm good with that.
Absolutely. Typical engineer, it's meet the standards plus 150%.
Right? There you go. That's right.
That's 1.5 times what's needed.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Okay. Any other questions for Dan? No? You guys good if he heads out?
I don't have any questions for Dan.
Okay. All right. I think you should run while you can.
That's a long ride back to Harrisburg.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate you saying
it. Thank you, Dan.
You're very welcome.
I do have a question, though. I want to clarify something. How is this being paid for?
It is being paid for from the funds in Perk Yeoman Crossing water.
Okay. So it's not being paid by everybody else in the community?
Correct.
So if a letter went out to the residents stating otherwise, that would be not true?
Correct.
Okay. So I got a question. So this letter was circulated to the residents back in last year's election. Said checks and balances. There's a section here that says, do you know that the current BOS voted unanimously last meeting to drastically limit the necessary increase to the water and sewage fee paid by the residents of Perk Yeoman Crossing Development? Now the rest of us have to make up the difference. Guess who two of the current BOS residents reside? So what's the story with this letter? Who wrote this? And how many people did it go to?
I don't know. Let me see it, boy.
It says paid for by William Lamon for supervisor on it.
Guess who the two current supervisors are?
I,
I can speak for Perkiomen Crossing. I can tell you we have a community page, as you well know, Sean, and multiple residents came back from that October meeting, which we weren't aware of because it was only advertised, I think, on Facebook, which not everybody is on Facebook to keep up with critical meetings, right?
Okay.
But regardless, there was a community post, and many people were saying they came back from that meeting with that same messaging.
I know we have various contributors. Yes.
That's some humor shit.
Yeah, we have various contributors that provided information to
many. Many people, Sean. It was on our community page. You saw that. Many people came from that meeting saying they heard that message at that meeting.
I'm not familiar with this particular post on that page.
Of course not. You're never familiar with that.
But who sent this out? Did you guys send this out as part of your campaign?
Yes.
Okay, why did you put this in here?
We had heard from, we received input from various contributors.
Okay, are you going to correct this?
I think we just did.
I think it was it was brought up in a previous meeting too as well.
Okay.
And let's say in December it was brought up.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that might not get the message. And I think a lot of people are upset by it. And I don't know if you're gonna send out a letter correcting this.
I think we should, right? Because many people in that neighborhood think that we have to fund it, right? So I think you should correct it. Because that's what was communicated. I don't know. I didn't relay anything to the two of you on this. I heard about it myself, too, after the fact. It sounds like same as Sean, right? And at that October meeting, people were informed of that, and that's what went out on our community page.
Right. So look, something else to...
Can I just clarify? I think we're saying two different things.
I think two different things.
Yeah. I think you're saying that this letter went out...
as part of a political campaign.
With the assumption that the general taxpayer would have to pay for this project.
Right.
But I think you're saying you were told that the residents of Perk Crossing are going to pay for it. Is that what you're saying?
I heard taxpayer. I'm a taxpayer.
Oh, okay.
No matter where I live, I'm a taxpayer.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay. Yeah.
So the project will be fully funded by just the residents of Perkiomen Crossing. Just to clarify, we have applied for $1 million grant to try to offset the cost of it. And the water fund does have close to $900,000 of reserve to help offset the cost of it. So the expectation is between the recent fee increases that went into place along with the reserves and hopefully some grant money, that should be able to cover the cost of this project without having to increase any additional fees for the residents in the development.
I think where the confusion would have come from is if they're saying in a meeting that everybody's hearing taxpayers are going to pay for it, what is everybody going to think? Everybody who's a taxpayer is going to pay for it. So I imagine that's where this line got drawn here. So I would say it was a miscommunication that somebody got in a meeting. I wasn't there at the meeting. So this here would be other people right. That were in this meeting.
So look, I mean, the other thing that comes into play here is we talked about you had like a binder that you walk on and knock on people's doors with. My concern is that binder of information is also similarly not full of accurate information.
Everything that's in the binder
yeah.
has the township's letterhead on top of it.
Okay.
So are you telling me the township website was incorrect?
I don't know, man. I wasn't there to hear your speech, but it sounds like it's not entirely on the level.
The whole last administration here wasn't on the level.
But are you saying
all the way up?
Let's spend the road. I was at the October meeting as well, and what is not a sustainable plan is the trading funds between the water and sewer between Perkiomen and Crossing, not increasing rates for 12 years or 10 years or whatever that number is, and relying on a grant to pay for this fund. So that is not sustainable, and the previous board of supervisors was supporting that. Finally, they did increase the rates, which was, I think, was a good thing. But there's a lot of borrowing and moving money around. That's not a sustainable plan. If you're going to fund the water, let's figure out a way to fund it. And that's where I think that language from the letter really comes from. Is the last board of supervisors, they weren't
doing their part and to make sure this is sustainable over time plan.
We raised the rates to be sustainable less in the last board.
When was the last time before that?
It's a good question.
10 years.
And 10 years.
10 years.
Okay.
Right. So there's a lot of people that were in those seats that led up to that.
I understand it's not your fault, but and I don't blame you for that. But that's, we want a sustainable, the residents of whether you live in Perkiomen Crossing or not, we want a sustainable plan. The last Board of Supervisors, they helped out at the very end, but that was it. It was a long line of bad decisions that haven't made this a sustainable plan. And I hope this moves that in the direction, because the Perkiomen Crossing residents, I mean, they deserve to have a sustainable plan over time.
So I spoke to several residents in Perk Crossing. I got a ton of emails, ton of phone calls, and I just talked to Ms. Tackett about it last month, and you were like, have them just call me. You know, and so I agree with you, Les. I'm just now getting here, Ms. Lisa and I. This is something that's a big concern of mine. That family there, I'm the guy that knocked on their door and helped them out. I totally get the issues over there. I brought this to the table right now. This is the fix we have moving forward. I agree with you. The 10 years of not raising these rates is a big concern. And the little bit we did still doesn't cover it all. There's still a shortfall there.
Do you think we should increase it more?
I think what we have to do is educate ourselves on what we can do and not just make hasty decisions, because I think, as it's proven in the past, that doesn't work.
Okay.
So I think that's what we're going to do. I think we spoke about that earlier, too, with the fee increases and everything else, how we can cover those, which is the same thing with this sewer plan. That's a unique situation over there. That's not, you know, all over Upper Frederick, so I think that's something that we got to look into.
Okay.
Do you agree, Ms. Taggart?
Yeah, I think we have a sustainable plan.
Okay.
But, you know.
Do you think we should raise them more to cover that?
I do not. I think we're in pretty good shape.
Okay.
We have a period of time. I mean, I agree. It would have been nice if the rates had gone up incrementally over time, but that didn't happen. So we are in our situation we're in. The possible borrowing from water to sewer is a short-term situation, because we have a debt that the sewer is paying for 5 more years. Once it's $80,000 a year. Once that debt is paid, if it has to borrow any money from water, it can pay it back at that point. And then we have funds to be able to do upgrades as needed. So we did run a lot of scenarios, and I think I provided you guys with some different spreadsheets showing the different scenarios and how the numbers do appear to be sustainable. I am hopeful that we won't have to raise the rates on the residents anymore. If we get the grant or any portion of the grant, I think that just allows us to keep a healthier reserve in the development for future projects. And so maybe we can wait longer to raise the rates again, because this was a pretty substantial rate increase for folks.
Sure.
We've heard it from people. They feel it, you know? And so it's that balance of, you know, trying to make sure that you are protecting the development and their water and sewer system without having to like impact them too hard. So I think we made a good compromise increase. It looks like the numbers are sustainable. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the grant.
A few questions.
I have a question. In regard to the grant money, this almost $1 million, where exactly is the grant coming from? Is that a state grant, federal grant?
It's a state grant.
Yeah.
What's the status of that? When do you expect to hear?
We don't know. So it was submitted in October. It's the local share agreement grant from the state. The last time we applied for grants and got them, it took more than a year to get the funding.
Now, was the grant, when you filled out the application to the state, what did you have to specify what the money was going to be used for?
Yes.
Okay. And it's solely going to be used for?
For that.
Yeah, for
that upgrade project.
Okay, that's pretty much all I needed to know.
Okay.
Just so I'm clear on what you're saying now, So no misinformation gets put out anywhere. You're stating that with or without the grant, the cost of these projects is going to be borne solely by Parking and Crossing.
Absolutely, right. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I heard an offset of some other funds that are in some reserve somewhere. That's what I just heard.
You have the Perkiom and Crossing has money in the water fund. About, I would say it's probably about $850,000 in reserve. Okay.
What happens if we don't get the grant?
There's a chance we won't get the grant, or we will only get a portion of the grant. Mm-hmm. We have it set up so that we will. So either way, the plan is to borrow money to pay for the project. And so there's a state agency called PennVest, mm-hmm. and they offer very good rates to municipalities for utility projects. So I believe in our analysis, the rates were like roughly 2% interest rate is what. And so what we will do once, we can't apply for the PennVest funds until the design of the project is complete. Once the design of the project is complete, we'll submit our PennVest application. PennVest, it's loans, but they also have access to grant funds. So you don't know, though, until they analyze the project, whether or not they will apply some of their grant funds to the project. So we're sort of moving forward with worst case scenario.
Assuming no grants. No grant. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I have a question. So with the request for the grant, as a resident of Perkiom and Crossing, would it be possible for us to see what the wording you guys used in the request for the grant?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
And how would we go about getting that?
I would suggest complete a right to know form. It should be on our website. And just ask for the grant application for the water project.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Anybody else? Okay.
I imagine you'll loop in the HOA board, the new board, right, at some point.
Yep.
Well, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Active development overview.
All right, so over the past couple years, there's been a couple official applications and then one conceptual application. On the board here on the TV is a concept plan for the property located at Perkiomenville Road and Big Road. It's the Myers property. This development went through conditional use approval and land development approval in 2023. It's essentially for an automotive type facility, but it's to restore historic cars. Essentially, the number of employees is going to be pretty minimal. It's, I think, going to be open to the public. Not really the public. They're going to have events there a few times a year. It's not open to the public. I think it's an extension of Mr. Meyer's facility in Boyertown. So this is a concept of kind of a couple of views of what they presented to the township. So this went through the review process with the Planning Commission and then was approved by the Board of Supervisors last year. And at this point, it's been approved. We're sort of waiting for final conditions of approval to be determined and for the property owner to get their approvals from the state, from PennDOT, and an NPDES permit. The developer, the property owner, mentioned that their intention is to build this in phases. There was some concern about that, so one of the conditions was that all the stormwater management had to be developed in the first phase, and also I think all the kind of the disturbance of the site to try to minimize the ongoing disturbance there. So those were some of the conditions for this development. Any questions? All right.
So we do, actually, we just wait then for...
Yeah, so right now it's...
The ball's in their court, waiting for some state approvals.
It's back and forth between our engineer and their engineers as far as revising the plans to make sure all those conditions of approval have been complied with.
Satisfied.
Yeah.
Then Norm's saying the planning meeting, he hasn't heard from them since they came in, right?
So they sent an electronic version to him to review, and Norm likes hard copy, and so we've asked them to send over a hard copy version, and I'm not sure they've gotten that to him yet.
Okay.
So they have been in communication.
Okay.
So these are just some pictures of the development. Okay.
I have a question. Did the zoning change at all on that property, given this project or this proposed project?
The zoning did not change, but they did get some variances. So the property is zoned commercial.
Commercial, okay.
But because it's an automotive use, it wasn't absolutely clear that it was fully permitted there. So they did go to the zoning hearing board and get some relief.
Okay.
All right. This is a property on Heimbach Road. It's owned by Hendricks. This is a concept plan, so we have not officially received an application on this property. There had been a previous plan kind of preliminarily approved back in the early 2000s. It was called Scioto Village, and it had just under 100 units. When the recession hit, it didn't move forward, but it stayed on the books up until, I think, 2022, when it was suggested to the board at the time that we should not continue to keep this on the books because it's, by keeping it on the books, it's exempt from a lot of natural resource standards. So the board chose not to give the developer, the property owner, any more extensions, and so now this project is subject to our current standards. So this concept that the developer was floating to the township is, I think this one has probably about 97 units, which is a lot more than what the zoning by right allows. At this point, the developer was kind of, this developer also owns the property on Colonial and Big Road, this one here. So he was proposing some variations between all the properties on Heimbach and this property on Colonial and Big Road, trying to kind of shift some densities around, and was trying to sort of make some offers in exchange for different things. And eventually, he didn't seem to want to give the township what we were asking for as far as like a by right plan, so we could really see what the true number of units could be on these properties. And so the last we heard from the developer is that he was just going to go to develop a by right plan, which could include multifamily apartments. And so we're waiting. So there's no activity on this. There's no official application, but these are some of the concepts that were put out there to the township over the last couple of years.
So apartment buildings are on the table.
Yep, apartment buildings are an option. Okay, any questions on that?
He hasn't been back since October of last year.
Correct. Yeah. All right. This plan is a plan on Big Road near Ivy Lane. This property received conditional use approval in 2022. This project is for, it's kind of hard to describe it really. It's for like small kind of office, but more for like contractors. So originally the owner of this property wanted to do residential units on this property. It's zoned commercial. So that would have required a zoning change. This property owner has 29 EDUs. So basically an EDU is a unit of sewage capacity for a residential unit. So he originally was hoping to be able to do 29 dwellings on this property. When he came to the board at the time, they said, no, that's too many. Even though you have that capacity in the sewer plant, we're not willing to support that number of residential units. So he went away. He came back with this office, this kind of contractor office space. It went through the Planning Commission review and then a conditional use hearing with the Board of Supervisors. They have conditional use approval, but they don't have land development approval. So that would be the next step when they decide to move forward. It would come back. So what that means is this is the layout that he presented during the conditional use process, but it's not necessarily the layout that has to be approved by the township. We could require him to kind of reconfigure it if there are concerns about the layout. So that's something, if the owner decides to move forward with this development, that is something that you guys could see in the
future.
This
is Sal Appio, Mr. Lampman? Is that who
yeah.
this is?
Yeah.
This isn't in this, that's not on this document.
It's not, because it's from 2022. And that document, that's the summary of 2023 at the Planning Commission. But I just wanted to share this with you, just to give you some background. Okay. Any questions on that one? All right. So those are really kind of the big plans that have been active in the township for the last couple of years. And
are there any other properties that have been sold and maybe we just haven't heard from potential developers or?
Not that I've heard of.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that they're isn't something that could pop up, but at this point I haven't heard anything. I do know across the street from Ivy Ridge, that property owner has been interested in developing for 20 years. They've been sitting on that property, but they're sort of waiting to see what happens with sewer and that sort of thing.
What's the zoning there?
That one is residential and commercial. It's a mix.
What sewage comes in? It all comes in.
Well, and that's because of that sort of thing. You know, the past supervisors took the approach that they did not want the developer to build extra capacity into the sewer plant, but rather design it so that it could be expanded in the future so that the township has control over potential expansion and development. When you guys get an application that includes a sewer plant, you guys will have to decide how you want to approach that. But at this point, you know, we don't have an application. The discussion has been, though, that when a sewer plant goes in there, the Frederick Living sewer plant will be decommissioned and it will have to go into it. So that'll be a DEP requirement, just because the new plant will be much more environmentally friendly, sound, and so the old plant will get decommissioned. Okay.
Are we up on, like, all the zoning, all the ordinances, everything we can do to tighten this township down to discourage as best we can?
So, you know, there's always things that pop up along the way. I mean, we've done a lot of upgrades over the last 10 or 15 years. Could we do more? Potentially. I mean, a couple things came up at the Planning Commission meeting. Yeah, you were there.
Yeah.
And so we'll definitely look into them. And,
that's one thing I think we ought to do as best we can, crack it.
Yeah.
Just tighten it up as best we can.
Sure. This page is just a list of some of the ordinance updates that have been undertaken over the last couple years. Water protection standards. This had to do with expanding the protections of people with wells near development, requiring more monitoring, and bringing control to the Board of Supervisors more so than it had been before. The adaptive reuse standards for historic structures, that's still in review with Planning Commission, so they're still reviewing that. Parking updates, those were adopted just recently. The Planning Commission did talk about the distance, the 500 feet that had been discussed during the adoption of the parking updates, and they seem to think that the language was fine the way it is at this point. Sewage disposal standards update, that has to do with requiring new sewer plants to be located in the higher density zones where they'll be serving, the development they'll be serving, rather than putting a sewer plant for a high density development off in the low density area of the township. And then there were some updates to stormwater management requirements as far as new impervious that's over 1,000 square feet, making it cumulative. So in other words, if somebody comes in with a 500 square foot addition and then they come in 2 years with a 600 foot addition, we would add them together and cumulatively they would trigger stormwater management. And then the Planning Commission and you guys did approve recently the agricultural security application. So those are kind of the big things, big development, big code updates that we've done. Some of the Planning Commission's action items for 2024, reviewing the township plans here at the township building, lot consolidation, things to allow expansion here at the township campus, implementation of recommendations of the comprehensive plan, continuing to support agricultural activities, continue to investigate and pursue grant opportunities, and then one that came up at the Planning Commission this past meeting was to look at standards relating to water quality and sewer hookups. So we'll do some more research on those. All right.
Is there a way to identify high-risk properties that we think people are going to be selling or putting, I mean, to take any pre-action? I don't even know. Is there a way to identify potential opportunities, whether it's to buy back land or preserve land or things of that nature that would prevent people from
From developing. Well, so I guess, you know, there's a couple challenges. So not exactly. I mean, we can monitor if property is being sold and like who it's being sold to. And, you know, if it looks like it's a developer, we can certainly, you know, make note of that. You know, I think our challenge is we don't have an open space tax. So anytime we want to buy something, we're buying it with general fund dollars. Mm-hmm. A year or two ago, we did contact the property owner behind our property here about the possibility of purchasing some of the back of their property to kind of expand the township property here. But the price that the appraisal that came in, they weren't interested. It was just too low. So, I mean, we can certainly identify areas of the township that might be high priority and, you know, try. you know, we could always reach out to property owners like we did back here and and see if there's a willingness. You know, I think it's the sort of thing, though, when we get into the budget process in the fall, if that's a priority for the board, then we're going to have to figure out how to work it into our budget, though.
Was that something that gets put into the comprehensive plan?
It can, yeah.
Because I know you had mentioned before that when we bought the
schoolhouse,
right, that was in the comprehensive plan from years ago, so it had been prioritized.
Right.
So are there ways that we can...
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
I mean, we can do that with what we might consider to be
high-risk
properties.
Or I don't know if high-risk, but high-priority, maybe for community...
You know, preservation.
Preservation, sure.
Okay.
That's something I talked to Rick about after the Planning Commission meeting. That is a tax I'd be more than happy to pitch to the community. So walking around, knocking on doors, talking to everybody, I said that. There's other communities out there like Skip Back and some other ones that actually have an open space tax, and they have funding that goes in there. So over time, they can go ahead and make a purchase on land like that. It does say that in the comprehensive plan. And it said, too, in those, if you read the comprehensive plan, it even states in there, we did two polls at election days, and they say 84% of the people's concern is preserving Upper Frederick and preserving land here. So I was surprised that we never did do that, have that tax or even put it out there. But I said that to Rick. I would like to work with him because he said he tried to put into place.
Right. Yeah, I know TRW. It's been tried in the past. And, you know.
He said he never got any traction. He said there was just no support for it. But I told him, I said, there's support here now for it. That's for sure. So I think that's something we should all talk about. And, you know, if we can get it up, you know, at least some framework together, maybe you can put that on a referendum for the ballot this year. This should be an exciting election. So I think we'll get a fairly good turnout there.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys want me to put that as an agenda item in the future, I can put that on for you guys to discuss.
Yeah, I think it would be good.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
And how we can use, I think, Central Perk Valley Planning Commission to our advantage by being part of communities that are already have high development. Maybe we can use that to our advantage for staying rural.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Jason, let me ask you something. So I did learn, too, about shared zoning. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. I mean, we sort of do that with the regional planning.
Right. I was told that it's a slippery slope, you know what I mean? But it can be beneficial to us. I was just wondering if we did,
or
if that's something we could look into about, to tighten this up here as best we can.
So we certainly could. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if that's a priority of the board, if you guys, you know, want us to look at, I think you're thinking maybe in terms of maybe trying to shift our high density to elsewhere in the region. Is that what you're thinking?
Like out of Upper Frederick?
Yeah.
That's what I'm
out of Upper Frederick.
So I'm looking at this. But I mean, like, yeah, to go ahead and you know, limit it to what we have, you know. I hear apartment buildings down here. That makes my skin crawl, you know. So that's a major priority for me, you know. And in talking, like I said, with the residents, that wasn't just your survey you had done there. That was, I mean, that holds true today. The biggest issues that I heard about was the stormwater, roads, and the agriculture. And when I read the comprehensive plan, it wasn't in your initial one from 08, but it was definitely in your second one. 2019 or 2018 you did one, something like that. Yeah. So yeah, I read that book too.
All right.
Public Works upgrade, concept design.
So a couple weeks ago it was suggested that we should get the architect to give us a proposal to get started on some design work for Public Works. And so that's before you. They have a proposal here for doing all the measurements of everything and the documentation. It's $4,000. The existing building, it looks like lower level only, is $4,750. The new addition to the metal garage building is $2,250. And then a new building is $2,000, and then a site plan is $1,250. At this point, I mean, given that, you know, we're sort of under the gun to get something moving, I would certainly recommend definitely the addition to the metal garage, the metal building. I think I had shared with you guys by email kind of the equipment list that the guys have, and then, you know, how that can fit in the space. And I sat down with Steve Heller, and doing a two-bay addition to our existing whole building back there that's 50 feet deep, plus a lean-to for the trailers, would be enough square footage to be able to get all of his equipment under a roof and still be able to do a locker room shower area for the guys. There has been talk about maybe doing a separate standalone building next to the salt shed, that could be a drive-through. My only hesitation there with that is that that's kind of building our campus around a salt shed that maybe isn't in the best location currently.
I agree.
And I feel like maybe we want to kind of look at the layout overall kind of over time, instead of just trying to like have an architect quickly rush a second.
Yeah,
like we feel confident that expanding the two bays off of the existing pole building and making sure that they're deeper and taller, that serves the immediate needs of Public Works, along with the locker room and the showers. So I guess at this point I would, you know, recommend at least moving forward with those pieces and maybe holding off on that standalone building until we have time to really see the best configuration.
Yeah. I spoke with Steve today and we were talking about that, and I said that very thing to him about moving that salt. And he was like, are you kidding me? You know how much work this was? Like, but he had put it up himself. So it is, like you're saying, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. You're only going to move it one more time.
Right.
But I said to him, I looked into those pole buildings myself, and I have, I think it's Lisa's neighbor, Stan, had one put up. They're relatively inexpensive, and I just put cameras in one, and after I put the cameras in, the guy spray foamed the inside like we have now, and he has heaters in there and everything. It's real nice to work in there. So they're relatively inexpensive.
Well, except that we're a government. So everything is more expensive when you're a government, because you have to pay prevailing wage and go through the bidding process and everything. But relatively, yes, a pole building is, you know, relatively inexpensive. Now, it's a mechanic bay, so it's going to have, you know,
concrete, yeah.
Concrete, and it's going to have the lift and everything. So, yeah, you know, there's, you know, some more costly components to it, but yeah, relative to like building a new office building, it's definitely a lot less.
Yeah, it was soup to nuts, concrete floor, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 76 feet long, 40 wide. It was 70,000.
Yeah, I know. I wish it was that easy.
So, but, are you so on this document you gave us, the schematic design phase costs from Loose Architecture? Mm-hmm. Are you suggesting that we pay for all of these items, or you want to remove?
I would say
separate building.
I would say remove the separate building at this time. Until we're able to
New building.
Yeah, the new building.
Which is 2,000.
Correct. And then, you know, if you guys, the last thing, the site plan, if you want it rendered to kind of give a nice look to a plan, you can have them do that as well. That's up to you. I guess I would suggest the first three. You got to do the measurements and documentation, do the schematic design for the existing building downstairs, and then the metal expansion addition.
And then if we approve that, how long till we actually get the plans? Because I know...
So these are only going to be concept plans.
Right.
And then once... So I think it could be a month to 6 weeks is what I'm hoping. And then... once you, he's going to give you some alternatives.
Okay.
Right? And then once you guys are good with those, then he would go and design, and it'll probably be another couple months. So, yeah, we're creeping along.
And then those final designs, we have to do sealed bids for contractors to do the work.
Correct. Correct. Unless there are some states... So there are some companies that are sort of pre-approved by the state.
Like CoStars?
It's similar to CoStars, but it's different.
Okay.
It's, one of them is called Gordian, and we actually use them to install the fencing down at the dog park. That is a way that you don't have to go out to bid, but a lot of times their prices are a little on the higher side.
Mm-hmm.
So we can certainly kind of... get a cost proposal from them once we know what we want, and if it seems like it's too high, we can go out to bid.
Because obviously,
like
the money that's at risk here is the 400. I think it's 438.
I think it's 381.
Oh, 381.
Yeah.
381 is what we have to make sure that we
secure
yeah. for this year.
We have to have it under contract
signed.
Correct.
So those options are the pole building. For that price, that's just not something that's in our wheelhouse. Is that what you're saying? When I said it was like 76 grand, when I told Steve that, he said if he had both those buildings, he'd pretty much be out of here. He'd be able to move everything completely out of this, not even need the bottom for storage of his
for his lawn stuff.
Zero turns.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, though, I mean, my concern, and I talked to Steve. I'm surprised he didn't mention this to you. Is that if we go and build his drive-through building that he wants next to the salt shed, it limits us in a lot of other areas. And I don't know that you guys want to get backed into that corner, right? I mean, it might result in us not being able to ultimately put the salt shed where we might prefer it to be because we didn't, like, study it further. We just kind of, like, said, oh, let's hurry up and do a second building. You know, I guess, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, the top priority is making sure that we have enough space for all of our equipment and our foreseeable equipment.
Sure.
So by doing that two-bay addition plus the lean-to, that gets us there. It's sort of the needs, right? It meets our needs. Doesn't meet our wants. You know, it would be nice to have a two-bay drive-through building. But I don't know, again, but it's up to you guys. If you want to go ahead and do that, you can do it.
The item below new building is site plan. Is that something that Luce could do and say, here's where, you know, looking at everything, this would be the better layout?
Yeah.
This could be short-sighted by just,
yeah.
With the site plan, like Revit model, they're going to generate like a 3D site.
Probably.
Plan. Yeah.
Probably something like that. So I'm not sure if the site plan would achieve maybe what you're thinking. Like, I feel like we have to do some turning radiuses and we need to, like, when I talked to Steve, and I don't know if he mentioned this, he mentioned that his ideal situation would be a salt shed that's at the, like, if the pole building's to your left, it would be straight down where they could unload the salt in the upper level and then they could take it out from the lower level. But without doing a site analysis, we don't know how that would work with this new drive-through building and that sort of thing. I guess that's, you know, it's going to take a while.
May prevent that from ever happening if that's really a desire.
Maybe.
Or would be more efficient.
Or we might, if we want to move forward with that alternate salt shed, then it might make more sense to shift that drive-through bay over a bit where the existing salt shed is.
Right.
Right? But if we move forward with the drive-through bay now, then we're stuck. So.
Right.
But that's what I'm wondering, if they can't just do a layout.
Now.
What would be the best layout? And then see if we can't plan projects around that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to take more time.
It's okay.
So,
I think as long as we have those funds earmarked by the end of this year, we're good.
No, it's not earmarked. No. It's under contract.
That's what I meant. As long as it's up and under, you're saying Luce wouldn't have enough time to get it and then find it.
I mean, last he told me, they're booking up quickly. So,
you
know.
Can we ask him? Say, hey, what do you think you can come up with here real quick? And if you can't, then I guess we'll have to move forward with this in the next meeting. For next month's meeting, that would give us enough time to do it, right?
Could he potentially do the first three and turn those in while still doing a site plan?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, sure.
That because the first three could earmark.
I think
the big concern is the 381 is making sure that that's under contract. So
right.
He's not going to move this building or the existing building and potentially maybe adding those two bays. Do you think that that would be at risk? Like he might say that's not the best place for
them. I guess my concern is if we start having him do concept, like bigger concept plans, when we really need to be having them focus on getting to the actual design of the project, we're just pushing design work out and it just makes me nervous.
Yeah.
When you say under contract, is it design needs to be under contract or the construction?
Construction has to be under contract.
Yeah. So we have to have gone through the bid process, selected
by the end of the year.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, and we're running out of time.
And exactly. That's the part that's making
nothing
me nervous.
Nothing goes fast. Yeah.
Nothing goes fast, right? You guys only meet once a month, essentially, for a business meeting. So, you know, at this point, if you give him the go-ahead to do the first three items, I don't know that he's even going to have it done by your March meeting,
right?
That's a month. It might be pushing it. I don't know. So then we're into April. And we're still just at concept, right? So then you guys have to decide what concept, you know, what you want from the alternatives. Then you have to make a decision. Then they have to go and design it. So that's probably a couple more months. So, you know, we're cutting it close.
Yeah, just so we don't lose the COVID fund. So I've looked into it a little bit more, and we can use that for road work and, you know, stormwater management and all that. Can we have that money used for that so we buy ourselves a little more time? But the Faust Road project is like 524, I think it was, or 500 and something, right?
Yeah, so I can look into it. I was told that we couldn't use it.
Oh, I verified it three different times. I called the attorneys and everything else, and everybody came back to it that said, yeah, in the beginning you were right. There was strict rules on all of it. Now it's just you can't use the funds to alleviate taxes or put off raising of taxes.
Okay.
So I asked that question at the last PSATs, and that's what they said. And then I wrote, and I actually got it back from Scott Coburn. I said, can you write that in an email to me? And he said, and he did. So
that would be beneficial.
Absolutely. And then we're not under
anything to relieve us so that we're not rushing to do something because of these funds.
Yeah,
I'd like to spend it the right way.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Because we know we have to do the roads.
Absolutely.
So that actually
and that's what I'm saying. Then we could sit here and literally take our time, plan this out thoughtfully. Like I said, Steve, those guys take care of all of us, so I'd throw as much as I can at that young man to help him out anyway.
So, at this point, we'll hold off on having the architect move forward on anything? Is that your thought?
I thought we still, I think we can still do the first three.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. So why don't you go ahead and do a motion then, if that's what you guys want to do.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Do we think of any space for Park and Rec in this proposed extension of the building?
So that's not in the extension, but so we have it kind of set up where we're going to have some storage down below here that would be Park and Rec.
Okay.
Yeah.
Currently we're working out of a leaking Connex container. We have several 20 by 40 tents and supplies and things for community day and other events. So,
yeah.
So when I talked to him today, when I was asking about these buildings, he said I was trying to get them completely out of here so we could utilize this space inside this building for, you know, expansion for us. So you would obviously have, you know, something downstairs, you know what I mean, move you into something down there. That was my thought anyway. I can't
You're
guarantee.
You're in 220 by 40s?
No, we have two 20 by 40 tents that are in a small storage container, a shipping sea container, basically, now that is not in very good shape. We've had it for a number of years, peeling paint on the inside and roof leaks. And
yeah, we really need to get rid of them.
No, I just was trying to figure out how much space downstairs, like one bay or...
No, I mean, it's not even that much.
Not
I mean,
even that much.
Like
I'm just trying to conceptualize
like a few shelves.
Storage, really.
Well, it's a little bit more than just
tents
shelves,
take up.
But yeah.
Yeah. Space. When you were saying tents, I thought you were using the tents to store
stuff. No, that's what I thought initially.
You mean the tents are storage.
They are tents that we
yeah,
use for events.
They're storage.
Like
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're
collapsed.
So they're not in the best environment right now.
Right. Okay.
So what are we doing here? We got to make a motion, Tracy, to...
Sounds like to move forward with the first three
first
items.
Three.
Okay, so let me I got to get back to it. Okay. So for the measurement documentation, schematic design drawings, is that what you're talking about, Ms. Tracy?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So... make a motion to go ahead and move forward with Luce Architecture to go ahead and start with the measurement documentation, schematic design phase, the schematic design drawings, existing township building, lower level only. And new addition to the metal garage building, including one exterior rendering. Is that everything, Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy? All right, do I have a second?
I second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. In the meantime, you'll while we're doing that, also you'll confirm that you can use
yep.
the COVID funds for
yeah.
the Faust Road project.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Okay, whole business, vacancy board chair appointment.
So it looks like you guys got two people interested.
For the vacancy board.
For the vacancy board. Deborah Finneran and Sandra Phillips.
We went from none to two.
To two.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I know Miss Phillips is a young lady. Well, she's a lady who works at the polls down there where we vote. I do know her. This would be her first time volunteering for something with us, though. And she's able to do it.
Are either of them here?
Yes. Miss Finneran, I see over here.
Okay. I was going to ask if they want to get up and speak.
Anybody want to speak in front of everybody, Ms. Finneran? No pressure. Yeah.
I will say anyway, it's a low speaking position that you're applying for.
Yeah, I've done some inquiry and I was told this position's never been utilized. So there's not a whole lot of competition for it. Either one of you know Miss Phillips? No. Sean, do you know who Miss Phillips is?
Not mentioning the name of the face, unfortunately. Do we want to think about it and do it next week, or do we have to do it now?
I think you should do it now, just in case.
Any questions for Ms. Lisa, for Ms. Finneran?
Do you understand the responsibility of the position?
Somewhat. It's like a third of the thing if two people get stuck on one.
And it's only if a supervisor position is vacant.
Okay.
It's only one responsibility. and likely never used. Basically, if I picked up and moved and left midstream and three people wanted to run for the vacancy and Bill and Sean couldn't agree, they become the third deciding vote. So how do we decide?
Well, just, I mean, both, do you have a preference? Yeah, I was just going to say they're both volunteer. I will say Ms. Phillips is not here. So by default, I would take Ms. Deborah.
Is that a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion to appoint Deborah Farron to the vacancy board chair. Do I have a second?
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Winner, winner.
Appreciate you showing up.
Your plaque will come in the mail. All right. Auto board appointment?
So Tom Blair, who did run for the position last November but did not win, is willing to take the position on audit board. He was not able to make it tonight, though.
There's nobody else?
I have not received anything else.
By default, I believe Mr. Blair wins.
What's his name? Blair? Thomas Blair, did you say?
Yes, correct. But you should make a motion.
I am.
Okay.
I'll just write his name down so I don't forget. So I make a motion to appoint Thomas Blair to the audit board. Do I have a second?
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Or to no.
Okay. Oh, did you have an opinion? Do you want to speak up?
No. No, I don't think he's a good fit. That's all.
I don't know who he is.
Okay.
Is there a good reason, Sean? Like, is there something this gentleman's done that we should know about, or? And I'm not being funny, I'm being serious. I didn't know him. You're like, you know, Ms. Finneran's here, we can see who she is, talk to her. I know Mrs. Phillips from being at the polls.
No, nothing I can substantiate myself.
Just okay. Okay, perfect. Draft agenda for February 14th, 2024, regular meeting, Ms. Tackett?
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's in your book. Sorry about that.
Doesn't look like what?
It doesn't look like it's in your book.
Thank you.
I can't get into my computer. I'm sorry. So we have a bunch of stuff for next week.
Do you want me to pull it up?
Yeah, maybe.
I think you sent it to us.
Yeah, I think I did. Right? Yeah. This computer is new and it's not connecting properly. Let me see.
Ms. Tackett, while she's doing that, can we, so I wanted to ask about something. I didn't discuss it with any of the other board members, but I just wanted to ask. Tablets. Did we ever think of using tablets for the supervisors or getting tablets for the supervisors?
It has not been requested, but if you guys want that, we can make it happen.
I was just thinking it'd be nice to have, like if we're at home, you can just email this stuff right to us. We can just put it right on there, you know. If we're out on a site somewhere or doing something, you know, you can take pictures with it right there. They're relatively inexpensive. I know Billy brought it up at the last meeting that we were in, and I never heard of it before. But I was out today doing some stuff, and I go, you know what, it would have been nice to have it today. It would probably save us on paper over time. It'd be cost effective. That's how I would justify it. All right, good.
I'm fine with this.
So you want a tablet? I just figured I'd ask. I knew a couple other
whatever you guys want
townships that I just figured I'd ask.
All right, so I was able to get it. So
yeah, I do have it too.
Okay. Good.
But I'll let you read it.
Yeah. We have resolution 2024-1, which will be the promulgation and the adoption of the emergency operations plan. Authorization to issue an RFP for the township engineer. So I need to get you guys a draft for that. We may want to talk about the fire marshal situation. Possibly an update on 855 Perpionville. I need to. That's the property that's approved for farm purchase. So I'm going to call that owner tomorrow and see about scheduling a site visit. Talk about scheduling of the solicitor interviews, how you guys want to do that. Next steps for the schoolhouse property. We've had a request from Mr. Swartley about possibly maintaining a cemetery in the township. The Public Works guys currently maintain one. There are some concerns with this one, so we may need to look into this a little bit more. So that may or may not be on your agenda next week. We'll have appointments to the UCC Board of Appeals. I think that's the last appointments you guys need to do. And then possibly talking about a grant project on Creek Lane. There's some stormwater issues. We may be able to apply for a county grant for that. Website transition, I need your guys' feedback. I think maybe I'd gotten some comments from you on the new website. If you guys could take a look at that. I think I sent you the links a while ago. So we can get that transition going. That would be great. Okay.
Did we get that figured out? Last time I did log into it, it was just like the panels were there, but I couldn't navigate anything whenever we had spoke about it. Were you able to get in? And navigate
around? I haven't looked at it lately since you first sent it to us, and I couldn't get around. I mean, it just seemed like a list of items, but
that's what I meant. Yeah, the panel.
So I guess at this point, if you can look at the way it's laid out and see if that layout works for you. You know, if you guys have any suggestions for like more tabs on the left or at the top, that sort of thing, let me know. We'll continue talking about the streaming of public meetings. I have reached out to a couple folks about that, and they had some questions as far as like, you know, what your guys' priorities are. So, you know, whether you want it to be going out live from your meeting or if it's something that we would record and then post later. So there were some questions that came up that I need to assemble and get for you guys. And then possibly a fire alarm update. So those are some of the possible agenda items for next week.
Okay.
Unless you guys have anything else to add.
Yeah. And the streaming does mean live.
Right.
So it really was meant to be live.
Okay. All right.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, you'd probably want both. You probably want a live feed and
an archive.
Yeah.
Right.
That was the beauty of going with YouTube. They'd love to offer free server space.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So next week I'm calling in.
Correct. Or if you'd rather do a Zoom in, we can do that too.
Or I can do that too. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Any public comment?
But I won't have a book, so can you?
Yeah, we'll email you.
Just email me the documents, okay?
That's where the tablet would have come in. Just saying.
Well, I have access to a computer.
She's got one.
Yes, sir.
Les Benzak, Swayford Road. I just a suggestion. The agenda came out today at 9 a.m. yesterday when I got the email. I'm thinking maybe a week in advance. I mean, a lot of us work and we can't adjust our schedules if we see something on the schedule. So maybe like a week in advance or a couple days in advance at least to give the residents a time to see what's on the agenda so they can make some arrangements. A day before, which is second class township code, says it has to be within 24 hours, and we meet all those, but it would be nice to get that, at least a preliminary agenda out, so residents can decide if they want to show up or not.
Especially for those on Valentine's Day, right?
That's
come on, don't you want to spend it with us?
I didn't realize that's what that was. He just said it.
Is that something that, I mean, like, we actually have next week's agenda's already a preliminary. We just reviewed it. So is that?
Yeah, I mean, if you guys, yeah, if you guys don't have any changes, I can adjust it.
So how would we handle that, Les, if we have a change, like you're saying? You know, things come up.
Well, I would rather, yeah, they do come up. But sure. Generally speaking, I would like to have a final agenda that we're posting instead of changing it. Because mm-hmm. then people yell at me,
sure.
Okay, when yeah. it gets changed.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure. And, you know, this week I was in training for a couple days, so it kind of ran a little bit late, but you guys have probably seen that, you know, I've sent you emails saying, you know, please let me know, please review the draft by a certain time,
sure.
you know. So if you guys are good with that, you know, and you don't have any changes after that deadline, then yeah, I can post it sooner. So you guys need to decide though, if you're good with that, right? Because I'm trying to give you guys the most time in case you come up with something that mm-hmm. you know, want to change or something.
Trace, can you have the capacity to do different versions? So we're not asking for like a dead set agenda, but just to have a kind of preliminary agenda, and then that 24 hours before or 2 days before, then you can put up the final. Don't you have different versions on other committees where if things change? I see that on the website.
So we try not to change it. I mean, once it's posted, we really try not to change it, unless it's like a typo or that sort of thing. I mean, if we really have to, but I mean, too often I post it, people get alerted, they take a look at it, and they're like, yeah, there's nothing I'm interested in, and then we change it, and then we hear about it later. So that's my only concern with doing draft agendas. I'd really rather just you guys let me know, like, you know, if it's Monday at noon, you know, if you're good with that, then after that I can post it. Does that sound
right? Yeah, that's fine with me.
I'm fine with it. Okay. If I have deadlines, I'm just start adding them to my calendar that they have to be done by a date.
Okay.
I just had in my head that things had to be done, you know, posted 24 hours in advance. So.
Right. So we'll try to shoot for Monday at least.
Great. Good days. Start.
Great. Any other public comment? All right, upcoming meetings, Board of Supervisors, regular monthly meeting, February 14th, 7 p.m. Parks Board meeting is February 27th at 7 p.m. Planning Commission has a meeting February 29th at 7 p.m. Announcements, we have a suggestion box for Community Day and other events.
Right, yeah. So we're doing a suggestion box if anyone has suggestions. Is it out yet?
Hasn't come yet.
Oh, it hasn't come yet.
It should be here tomorrow.
It should be here tomorrow. So we'll put it out as soon as it gets here in the lobby and people can.
Is that you, Mr. McMurray? Did I say your name right? Is
no,
it Murray?
It's Murray.
Murray.
Yeah.
Is that you who runs?
Yes.
All the stuff? Okay.
What's the date of this year, do you know?
28th of September.
Saturday in September.
Okay. Ready Monco? I was supposed to say something about that too, right? We talked about that at the
right,
last
right.
meeting.
That's right. Yeah, I'll make sure I add that in the future. So Ready Monco is the county website where you can sign up for emergency alerts. So we now have a link that's active on the website, right? It's under, I think, How Do I... Yeah, so like at the top of our website, there's to the right, there's something that says like how do I ... If you click on that at the bottom, it'll say Ready Monco, and if you click on the Ready Monco, it'll take you to where you can sign up for the alerts. Okay.
Something you wanted to say? All right, no other public comment? All right, make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
My second.
You're done. I appreciate y'all for coming out.